Today, why California is handing ex-prisoners over for deportation.
So Boonchan Keola, who goes by Boon, was working on the fires pretty regularly all year.
So far this year, California has seen more than 8,000 wildfires.
We have devastating wildfires, some of the worst in history.
Scorching nearly 5,800 square miles. That's the size of almost 3 million football fields.
A lot of explosions, flames everywhere.
29 people have died.
In October, he had a particularly challenging incident in which he and his crew were at a fire in Northern California, clearing brush and trying to stop the fire from spreading.
It is expected to be a very, very tough day for firefighters. Red flag warnings.
It was very hard to see. Planes above were dropping water on them. And at one point, the water was so misty he couldn't see anything. And he heard his crew yelling, "Tree, tree." And just before he was able to look around, he was actually hit by a falling tree and was knocked down.
I found myself on the ground, face down, and I couldn't move.
He was nearly unconscious and had to be airlifted out. And then as he was being airlifted up, suddenly the rope got stuck on a tree.
That's when I started spinning like crazy.
And it started rapidly spinning.
I felt myself out there. I'm going to die from being rescued. I thought I was going to die.
And he closed his eyes and just sort of prayed.
That's when I told God, like, man, I guess you want me with you.
He was airlifted out and made it out safely, but it was a near-death experience for him.
For weeks, Guardian US reporter Sam Levin has been speaking to Boon Keola about fighting the California wildfires this year. It's not just this that has led Sam to report on him. Boon is a prisoner who was nearing the end of his sentence when he had that accident. But instead of serving his remaining 2 weeks and returning home to his family, he found himself in an immigration detention facility and might now be sent to a country he hasn't lived in since he was 4 years old. From The Guardian, I'm Rachel Humphreys. Today in Focus, the Californian firefighters facing deportation.
This is a call from...
Sam, you've been speaking regularly to Boon while he's in federal custody awaiting possible deportation. But let's just go back. How did he and his family come to America in the first place?
So Boon was born in 1981 in Laos.
This is the battlefield in Laos.
His family is of Khmer descent, which is an ethnic minority that escaped the country after the Vietnam War.
These are government troops supported and financed by the United States, fighting and losing ground to communist troops, many of them from North Vietnam.
They fought alongside the U.S. in the war and have been historically persecuted.
But their problems didn't end when the Americans pulled out. Fearing a crackdown by Laos' communist government forces, many fled the country.
And so when he was 4 years old, his family left for a refugee camp in Thailand. And after that, ended up escaping and fleeing to the United States, where they resettled in Northern California in a city called San Leandro in the Bay Area near San Francisco.
What was his childhood like in California?
He had a really challenging childhood, which is a common story of Southeast Asian refugees here in California. His family was very poor and didn't speak English. And so when he first came here, he talked a lot about just his fear of being in America. It was such a foreign place to him.
Well, I've never seen a person with blue eyes and blonde hair. Yeah, I'm just used to seeing people like myself and my parents.
you know, he talked to me about just being so shocked to see other children with blonde hair and blue eyes and going to school. He just felt so out of place.
I started kindergarten and at lunchtime, remembering that I didn't have no lunch. I got picked on out of wearing, you know, like, used clothes. And, yeah, it was scary.
And he talked a lot about just the relentless bullying that he faced as a young kid. He really struggled, and his family had a difficult time adjusting to the new life here in California.
How did he get into trouble with the police?
So he ended up getting involved with gang activity, which is also a common experience of Southeast Asian refugees who experience difficult childhoods.
That's when I started hanging around with the Kamu kids, and I felt at home, be myself, and I told them about the bully that's going on in school. That's when they comforted me and they told me, don't worry about it. You will be protected and they won't tease you. One thing leads to another, and then became a daily routine where I'm going around carrying a gun. That's when everything went wrong, you know?
And then when he was 16 years old, he was riding in a car with friends, and he and a group of them ended up shooting out of a vehicle at someone running toward them, afraid it was a member of a rival gang. Two people were shot and one passed away. He was quickly arrested after that, and he felt like his life was basically over at that point. He was potentially facing life in prison.
That's when my mom pleaded me, begged me.
And ultimately, his mother begged him to just take a plea deal.
Do this for me. You're my only son. I don't want you to be in there for life. No, waiting to be here for you no matter what. We love you. And so just please take this deal.
And so he accepted 28 years in prison for a slew of very serious charges, including second-degree attempted murder.
I mean, a plea deal for 28 years for a crime he committed as a teenager. What effect did that have on his family?
Yeah, he was prosecuted as an adult, which is very common at that time especially, and continues to happen today. And it just shattered his family. It was absolutely devastating for his parents and his younger sister. He told me that one of the hardest parts of being incarcerated was that he always thought it was his job to look out for his younger sister, to be there for her. And when he was taken away, he felt like he had let the whole family down.
What was prison like for Boone?
So he was incarcerated since he was a teenager, essentially, and he spent a lot of time really working on himself, bettering himself, trying to take classes. He got a degree while he was in prison. He enrolled in self-help programs. He worked really hard to be a better person and to stay in touch with his family. You know, his family visited him a lot, and he was able to do his best to maintain those relationships despite being separated for so, so long. He finally got an opportunity to really do something that was transformative towards the end of his sentence this year, when he was able to actually work outside of the prison as part of a firefighting incarcerated crew.
What is that work like for prisoners?
So California depends on incarcerated people to battle its increasingly devastating wildfires. The program actually dates back to World War II, you know, when there was a labor shortage and they started relying on inmate fire crews. The inmate crews represent about 20 to 30% of the firefighting labor force that the state depends on each year. They're putting out blazes, they're saving homes, they're saving lives. And for the folks who are incarcerated doing this work, they make very, very low wages. Just a few dollars a day, $1 an hour when they're on the front lines of active fires. It's very, very grueling work. The folks who get this opportunity who are incarcerated love the opportunity because it gives them a chance to be outside of prison walls. And Boone told me that it meant so much to him.
Man, that was like the most positive thing that I've done my whole life. There's no barbed wire. There's no guard with a gun, with a rifle. I mean, we had a river running through our camp. You know, I'm like, wow, I got a chance to nail down and touch the river, the coldness of that river that I haven't touched for 20 plus years, since I was a boy. I mean, like, I was free.
He really loved the opportunity to just give back and help people and do something that felt like he was making a difference.
Well, he took on this work close to the end of his sentence because he was due for release in October. What did he plan to do when he got out?
You know, he has really simple dreams about coming home.
First thing, give my mom a big hug. Of course, there's going to be tears, but happy tears.
He just talks about helping his mother with chores, help her do laundry and clean the house and be with them.
Just to take care of my parents, a son's duty to his parents. Because before I was living life just for me. Now, I get it now, you know. It's not all about me.
And then beyond that, you know, he wants to find a way to give back, to help people. And, you know, if he can get the opportunity to actually work as a paid firefighter, that would mean the world to him. And I think that was his long-term dream. This was something that he would finally have an opportunity to do. The governor, Gavin Newsom here in California, who's a Democrat, had passed legislation that would allow folks like him to expunge their records once released so that they could get an opportunity to work as a real licensed firefighter on the outside.
Does Boone ever reflect on the impact of that crime that he committed when he was a teenager?
He's incredibly, you know, remorseful for what happened. He knows that there's a family that has lost someone forever and that he can never make up for that harm he's caused. And all he wants to do is come home and do his best to live his life and give back to other people and make amends for the severe harm that he caused. And he's very conscious of that. He's thought really deeply about that. He's had a lot of time to think about that.
I believe that I'm not that same little boy, that immature, that impulsive, selfish, self-centered, violent person that I used to be. I believe that I've done my time, and I'm just asking for a second chance.
Boone left hospital after his accident in a neck brace, and he went back to prison. What was that like for him?
It was really challenging conditions. He wanted to have medical treatment and help from doctors, but in reality, he was basically stuck with little monitoring from the staff and little help. He told me he would lie on his stomach at night to try to make his neck hurt less, but that he had trouble sleeping because it was just so painful. They only prescribed him ibuprofen, which he was taking as much as they would give him to just try to numb the pain a bit.
Which sounds awful. I mean, I imagine that he must have been really focused on his release. Because after serving 22 years, he was being let out early on good behaviour, which was going to be any day. But instead, something very different happened, didn't it?
Yeah, he was trying to just stay positive and, you know, talking to his sister and his family on the phone when he could because he knew, okay, I'm coming out in 2 weeks. But then 2 days before he was due to be released, the prison had him take a phone call, and on the other end were agents from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the ICE agency, telling him that they would be picking him up instead. And it was at that moment that he learned that he was not going to be coming home and was going to have to be taken to federal detention, facing potential deportation.
Gosh, what has he said about that moment, what it felt like to hear that?
Just felt completely crushed.
I felt everything start crumbling. Got a little blurry and my stomach started turning. Like, the expectations from what my family were, they were so excited. They planned everything. And now they gotta go through this
he felt betrayed.
That word comes in again, like that betrayal.
I think he was maintaining some hope that it might just be temporary. You know, he's been incarcerated for 22 years. What's a few weeks more? But there was just so much uncertainty and fear about what was in store for him.
Did Boone know previously that this might be a possibility for him?
You know, when he was sentenced to prison 2 decades earlier, he had understood that his immigration status was on their radar, but he didn't know what that would mean. He was just a teenager. And, you know, America is the only country he knows. He thinks of himself as an American citizen. He grew up as a legal permanent resident. He had his green card. This is his life. And it's just so hard for him to imagine the idea that he could be sent to a place that he doesn't know, where he doesn't have family, where he doesn't have any life to return to.
Now they want to send me back to a country that we fled, that we feared, because we're considered a traitor. And I don't know, of course I'll be scared, because the only family I have is here in America, in the Bay Area.
And I'm thinking about his family. You've been in contact with his sister, Tong.
Hi, Tong, can you hear me? Awesome.
I presume they were preparing for his release at this point.
Yeah, they've been waiting decades for this moment. Can you tell me just how you were feeling about the prospect of him finally coming home this year?
Man, it, like, we were all so excited. We did a countdown 4 months, 3 months, like, oh my God, he's really coming home in 2 months. Like, it's getting real. We started making, you know, a whole lot of plans to set him up for success.
She was planning to book a hotel right near the prison so she could wake up first thing in the morning.
I'm going to pick you up at 7 a.m. I'll be waiting at the door. Sorry, I'm getting emotional. We wanted to come home and just only immediate family to just give him a hug and, like, just make sure this is real. Like, this is happening. Like, you're here and you're home with us.
I guess, can you tell me a bit about what it was like when you got the call from your brother to say that he was going to be going into immigration detention? Do you remember what that moment was like for you?
Yeah, my heart dropped. Like, it just sunk. And, like, I froze. You know, I million thoughts coming to mind. I have to tell my mom and dad, my parents, that he's not coming home to us.
Coming up, what might the future hold for Boone? Sam, how common is this practice of handing over prisoners like Boone to ICE?
It's incredibly common. Just this year, advocates estimate that California has transferred more than 1,000 people from the state prisons to ICE custody. And what's typically happening, and what happened with Boone, is that the California prison system is proactively alerting federal immigration authorities to the release date of the folks who they have in their custody. So in Boone's case, we've seen from his ICE records that California reached out to federal immigration agents and informed them he has his release coming up on this date, and then they made arrangements so they could directly transfer him to their custody. And this happens to many folks who are foreign-born and are incarcerated, serving their sentences in California's state prisons.
Is this normal in California? I mean, that communication with ICE?
This is something that is quite extraordinary, given that California is a sanctuary state. And what that means is that local law enforcement here is not supposed to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. It means that California has a stated objective to protect undocumented people and immigrants. And Governor Gavin Newsom, who is a Democrat, has championed this law and said it's his top priority to ensure that California remains a sanctuary for all. But the sanctuary law does make an exception for state prisons and allows them to cooperate with ICE. And although they have no legal obligation to do all of these transfers, the prisons have made this routine practice. So I think the defense that Gavin Newsom has given when he's been asked about this is essentially, this is what has historically been done, and this is appropriate.
It's been done historically. It's been past precedent of previous administrations. We maintain it as the appropriate course for our administration. We've been clear on that for over now 18, 19 months. As it relates to the specifics around individual prisoners, that's done on a case-by-case basis. It goes through a very exhaustive process and protocol.
And the prisons, when I've inquired about it, will say, you know, we comply with requests from any law enforcement agency who is seeking access to folks who are in our custody upon their release.
This is a very shocking story that you've been working on, Sam. And you first reported on this practice back in September. Has there been any response to that story?
There has. So I reported on a man named Cao Se Lee, who has a very similar story, also a refugee who also worked as a firefighter.
He really wanted to help save the homes, the property of the owners, as well as saving lives.
And then faced deportation after his service.
I didn't know what to do. You know, I was in shock. All he said was, they're taking me to Louisiana.
And there's been a lot of outrage about it.
This, for us, is an injustice.
What do we want to do?
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And by the way, ICE, as an agency, as it's structured, should not exist.
Lawmakers across the country have asked Californians to stop doing this practice. There are Democratic lawmakers across the state here who have pushed campaigns to end the transfers of people from state prison to ICE, which would end many, many deportation cases. But from the officials who have the power to do this, which is largely Governor Gavin Newsom, there's basically been silence.
Sam, where is Boone now?
Boone is now in federal ICE detention, in a remote part of California in the Central Valley agricultural region of the state. And he's just waiting. He's stuck in a holding pattern. He's waiting for his hearings before an immigration judge where he will continue to fight his case.
What will happen to him now? Could he be deported?
It's an open question. The government of Laos doesn't recognize the citizenship of Khmer ethnic minorities. And so typically they've refused to accept people like him for deportation. So it's uncertain how that could play out.
I don't know. They're telling me like, okay, I don't belong here and I don't belong there. So it's kind of like, okay, so where do I belong?
Given the attention that you and others have brought to this issue, Sam, is anything likely to change in Boone's circumstances?
The only hope for Boone is that the governor of California issues him a pardon. He would be released to his family and he could live his life. If the governor does not do that, he's going to be stuck in this limbo for a long time, or he will face deportation.
Could things be any different under a Joe Biden administration?
As far as we know, the reality is things will be exactly the same. Biden has said that he will return to the Obama-era practice of prioritizing people for deportation who have criminal records. The only way that this practice ends is if California steps up and stops transferring people.
Have you heard any more from Boone's sister on how his family is feeling about all of this at the moment?
Yeah, she's just really devastated.
You know, when Boone left when he was 16, it was a sadness within my family. And how we cope with it is we just don't talk about it. But I see the sorrow in my parents.
They've all waited so, so long to reunite. And to have that taken away at the last minute is really devastating.
I understand that my brother did something wrong, and that is why, you know, he went to jail to pay for it. Now he's ready to come out and make it right, you know, be the man that he should be, that he wants to be, to make things better. The thought of him not being able to come out to do that is probably what hurts him which then hurts all of us. I think everyone deserves a second chance.
That was Tong Keola. Read Sam's story about Boone and Khao Se Lee, another incarcerated firefighter facing deportation, at theguardian.com. In response to Sam's reporting, US Immigration and Customs Enforcement released this statement. ICE took custody of convicted felon Boon Chan Keola, a Laotian national, on October the 16th after his release from the California State Prison in Sacramento, where he has been incarcerated since 2001 on convictions for attempted murder, voluntary manslaughter, and assault with a firearm. Based on his criminal convictions, Keola is an aggravated felon who is subject to removal and mandatory ICE detention. On October the 29th, an immigration judge ordered his removal to Laos. He will remain in ICE custody pending removal. Thanks to Tong, Boone and Sam for speaking to us for today's episode. It was produced by Sam Colbert and Rose DeLarabiti. Sound design was by Nicholas Cox. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.